the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
We'll talk to Aoife Barry, the author of Social Capital, in a moment. But first, Adrian Weckler, a tech editor for the Independent Newspapers. Are we really going to be in a situation of needing our pedestrian lights in cities to be on the footpath, on the ground, for people to take notice of them because we're looking down at our mobile phones rather than looking ahead at what's facing us?
It seems so, at least if the trial in Tara Street is anything to go by. So if you look at the traffic lights there on the quays in Tara Street in Dublin, what you'll now see is a new set of mini traffic lights that are halfway down the pole. And what they do is they beam the traffic light status, like red, orange, green, onto the path or the curb, mainly so that people who have their noses stuck in their phones will know not to walk out into the road.
This isn't April 1st. No, we are in May 7th.
This has actually been tried in other European countries. Poland has a system in Poznan. They actually have LED strip lights in on some of the curbs there. It's been tried in Holland as well. And the idea is that because of a proportion of the pedestrian fatalities in every European country, including in Ireland. So in Ireland, I think we had about 33 pedestrian fatalities last year. Obviously, the majority of those involved cars, vehicles, but we had almost 300 injuries as well. So the thinking here from the Dublin City Council's point of view appears to be, if there's something that we can do that might stop people wandering out onto the main road in busy traffic, then maybe it's worth trying.
Aoife Barry, in writing Social Capital, you looked at all of our habits that we've developed in relation to our phones and the internet and the rest of it. Does this surprise you that this would be regarded as necessary?
It doesn't really, and I say that as someone who today found that she was the one looking at her phone and missed the light turning green, pedestrian light going green. So I am as bad as anybody else, despite having spent a lot of time reading and writing about the ills and the good sides of being on smartphones and social media. In one way, adapting to the way life is now in the 2020s, you know, and anybody who spends time in Dublin city centre knows that, you know, yeah, you can have people wandering out into traffic. You can also have cyclists and drivers breaking red lights. So there's a lot of, quote unquote, bad behaviour going on the roads, and anything that does try and keep people a little bit safer and adjusts to, human behaviour now, I do think is a good thing. I mean, it started, I think, back in the mid 2010s, I know in Australia in 2016, and they brought in something similar there too. So it's not like this is a brand new thing in Ireland, as Adrian just outlined there. It is something that's been happening in other countries. Like, at the end of the day, smartphones aren't going to be disappeared tomorrow. Our behaviour has adapted to them. We're very much glued to them because they provide us with a huge amount of positive things, connection, work opportunities, abilities to be creative. But they've also been designed, particularly apps have been designed for us to never want to stop scrolling them, So there is a human behaviour element to it, and this is responding to that. Is it generally great that we are, potentially walking across the road while glued to our phones? No, I mean, that's obviously not great. Is it good to have ways to try and make people safer? I don't see why that should be an issue.
Scrolling is one thing, Aoife, but then there's also today the family of a man who drowned in Cork last week, Luke Hyde, is now asking for legislation to be introduced to stop people filming unfolding tragedies. Because this is quite remarkable what happened when he drowned in the River Lee last week. Tell us about that, please, Aoife.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking. I was actually in Cork City at the time myself, and we were wondering what had been happening down in the River Lee there in the centre of the city. And Luke Hyde went swimming with a friend around the Pope's Quay area in Cork City, and he very tragically died in the water. But while he was in difficulty and they were waiting for the emergency services to get there to help him, a crowd gathered around. Now, that would be a normal thing if somebody, if there was something happening, you would just understand a crowd might gather around. Maybe people might offer help, or they'd be calling the emergency services. But what also took place here is that a number of people were filming, and so we believe live streaming what was happening to poor Luke Hyde while he was in the water fighting for his life. And his family have, in fairness, I'm taken almost straight away to the media to speak out about the horrendous impact of this. And they've also asked lately that perhaps there could be legislation brought in, to try and stop or act as a curb against people filming these sorts of incidents and actually spreading this, horrendous footage. So they're really taking a stand on this at a time that must be, I can only imagine how how terrible the family are feeling right now. So they really don't want this to happen to anybody else. And this isn't the only incident like this that's happened. You know, a number of years ago, the Gardaí were also asking people not to share a video of a car accident that happened. I think it was on the M50. And that's not the only time that that's happened. I think this kind of behaviour is really fascinating because it's very scary that people would actually do that, would take out the phone and film somebody in this situation. It says a lot, perhaps, about empathy, about the fact that people are kind of, maybe some people are disconnected from what's happening on the screen, that almost by viewing it through a lens, you're acting like it's not a real thing when it is a very real thing. And I do think there's an impetus now built into us in this era to take out the phone and photograph or film something that's happening, particularly if it's dramatic, because that is almost the only way that people can process it happening. And I think there are a lot of questions we should be asking ourselves if we are going to be, you know, taking part in that sort of behaviour, because it can clearly, like in this incident, have a massive impact on the people that we're filming and on their family members too.
Adrian, far less serious than that, but still I think an annoyance to people is how people now are also using their phones on public transport and are almost broadcasting their conversations or playing their videos out loud because they don't have headphones. What's going on with all of that? When do people decide that they could inflict their noise on everybody else?
Well, it's an interesting one, because when I was a kid on the bus, there might be a few lads down the back with their ghetto blaster, and nobody would have the courage to, you know, to go up to them and say, "Look, would you mind turning it down?" Now it's the person, it's the 65-year-old behind you who is watching a YouTube video or having a full on WhatsApp video chat, you know, with their daughter or their son or whatever. There seems to be, all right, a kind of a rise in the number of, you know, full audio entertainment systems and chats that are going on in buses and in trains, and there doesn't seem to be any single way to stop it. There's no warning or sign on the bus like you might find, for example, in a cinema or elsewhere. We don't have a Japanese Tokyo style effective quiet compartment on any bus. So this has happened to me a couple of times. I take the bus quite a lot, and I've actually plucked up the courage myself on two different occasions to turn to the person next to me and say, "Look, would you mind actually keeping that down?"
And response did you get?
To be fair, now I judged.
I was going to say, you probably made an assessment as to whether you were going to get a thump.
Correct.
If you did it.
100% I did. So I judge with some discretion the situation. But in both instances, the person said absolutely no problem and just turned it down. But there's some basic rules of civilization that probably should apply. I mean, you don't, you know, you have a shower, you know, in the morning. You don't kind of bring sort of egg mayonnaise sandwiches onto the bus, and you shouldn't play your phone out loud, but lots of people do.
Last word, not to you, Aoife Barry.
Yeah, I think that, you know, a lot of us have gotten very used to certain types of behaviour because of our smartphone, and we've fallen into the trap of kind of doing whatever the smartphone asks us to do, which is spend a lot of time on it, you know, give it all the attention that it wants. And as a result, we're maybe not stepping back and looking at our own behaviour. And I think the people listening, you know, out loud to music are in that smartphone bubble. They're literally not realising that what's happening in that relationship between them and their smartphone is affecting people around them. And, you know, like Adrian, I've been sitting next to people who've been playing videos out loud and being afraid to say it to them. And that is also a sad, probably, indictment of that fear that we can have. And it's something that's, again, you know, we do need to tackle in some way, or people do need to have just more cop on when it comes to their behaviour and their actions around their phone in public in particular.
Aoife Barry, Adrian Wackler, thank you both very much for joining us.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.